tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Yes, the crazy train is here. Come on in, everybody. Welcome to the AfterBuzz TV After Show for Homeland, Season 5, Episode 3, titled Superpowers. Joined, as always, by my beautiful panel. I have Julian Dujeric, Stephanie Garrett. I am Frank Majorana. You guys can find me on Twitter at Let's Go Frank M. Stephanie, where can the good people find you on social media?
On Twitter and Instagram at StephanieG3360 and YouTube, StephanieGarrett3360.
And Julian, where can they find you?
You can find me all across the board on social media at Julian Dujeric. I even have a MySpace still. It's
Oh my gosh. Wow, that's a real throwback. Jinx.
Yeah.
Well, as always, sticking with social media, we like to start our show with our social media shout outs for this week. I'll lead it off with what we saw on Twitter that I thought was really interesting. And one of our fans was actually kind enough to point out something that was inaccurate about one of my statements last week, and that was about Franny Matheson. Her last name is Matheson. It is not Brody,
right.
Which is something that she helpfully pointed out. She said, this is at Lois Elfman. She said, hashtag ABTV Homeland, it's enough the children they've cast are spitting images of Brody. She would not publicly confirm paternity with his name, which is a great point. Yeah. And very smart. So yeah. Lois, thank you for sending that in. A true point and something that I just missed last week. I thought it was Brody was her last
name. It would make sense for it to be Brody, right. But my first,
I thought you said it was yeah. Matheson, and then I corrected you with something that I didn't know.
I can see both ways. I can see how you can name, you can have both names.
Yeah. Right. So, and then the other person I wanted to point out, Ben Thurgood at Ben Twisty 33 said he loves the predictions, but please don't spoil from the previews. Some of us don't watch that on purpose. So, Ben, we are going to take that to heart. So we may just have really good predictions that you're going
really
to have to, not read into at all. So thank you guys for writing to us on Twitter. Use that hashtag ABTV Homeland, and we'll pick the best thoughts that, that are out there each week, and we'll read them on the air. Mm-hmm. So, Julian, I know you saw some stuff on YouTube that you wanted to highlight.
Yes, Fly on the Wall. Thank you for commenting on our last episode's YouTube video. He or she says, Quinn and Carrie are so going to fake the hit. The picture on the old school phone of the hit this week looked fake, but it wasn't. Quinn will put some ketchup on Carrie's face and team up against whoever put the hit on her.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's
I thought great. That was a really funny prediction.
Great prediction. Yeah.
Really interesting. So thank you, Fly on the Wall.
Yeah, Fly on the Wall, and a good username too.
Yeah.
So speaking of Franny that Lois pointed out to us, she's a central figure at the start of the episode. Yep. So Carrie is sending her away.
Mm-hmm.
Presumably to protect her
yes.
from the journey ahead for Carrie. You know, Stephanie, what did you think of that?
I thought it was necessary.
Necessary.
Yeah,
okay.
And by the way, Franny is actually played by twins.
Is that right?
Yeah,
really?
There are two pretty little redhead girls that
That's
play
great.
That role. It makes sense because, one, you could change out one for the other. So, they're actually twins. But I thought that it was probably necessary, and it was definitely hard for Carrie to do that, It's very hard for her.
We were talking last week about how she's growing as a mother now, and she's becoming much more attached to her child.
Yeah.
But then, of course, she sends her away. So, I'm attached to you, but adios when the going gets tough. But it is a more protective measure than it has been in the past, where she's just, wanting to work instead of being with her kid.
Yeah.
So, Julian, what did you think about that? And,
I'm coming
Where's
around.
Carrie at? Okay.
Because
I know
around.
She's not your favorite character, but this is starting to endear her to you.
I shouldn't say she's not my favorite character. I think she is a character who has my least favorite characteristics.
that's
a spin right there, my friend.
I don't know that she is necessarily my least favorite, but I'm coming around to it because I'm seeing that, this motherly side of her that honestly I did not see before.
Right.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And so, yeah, I we definitely saw that when she was putting her daughter on the plane, for mm-hmm. sure. It read it on her face, and you could feel it almost.
Right, yeah. That was tough.
Absolutely. Yeah. As a mom watching does it add a little extra dimension for you?
Yeah, like I said earlier, I had to get a sitter just to be here tonight, so I can't imagine sending my kid on a plane somewhere, and I'm not there. Yeah. That's really tough.
That's the other thing, too, is Carrie's leaving Franny with their nanny, who is then going to deliver Franny to Carrie's sister back in the States. So, that's a long journey.
I was going to say, at least she's with family, she's with people she knows, and her sister loves her to death, so that's actually a good thing, especially for Carrie.
Well, and her sister had to watch Franny a lot in previous seasons, so it's a natural move, it seems like, for Carrie, just to get Franny off her mind so she can board the crazy train, which is why we led with that song for this episode. Carrie goes off her meds.
You said the crazy train was coming.
I mean, we knew it, right?
Say choo-choo, all aboard.
All aboard, but, I mean, when that happened, I felt the conversation coming with her and Jonas. She's like, right now I'm great. I'm on my meds and everything's normal. But there's this other side of me. But it's really good because this is how I figure things out. Did you agree with her mindset in that? Or did you want her to stay on her meds? You know, what did you feel about that when she said that?
I actually wanted her to stay on her meds.
Yeah.
I actually liked her on her meds. She seemed calm and normal and not as manic. But she made a good point. She gets things done when she's off of them. She, you know, she compartmentalizes things better when she's in the crazy zone.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I echo those sentiments. I didn't want her to get off her meds because I'm kind of growing to like her very, very much. Yeah. And I don't want to see her sort of self-sabotage and self-destruct. Right. But there's no guarantee that she would have known that Quinn was after her or anyone was after her if she had been on them, because her thought process would not have been the same.
Right.
It would not have been the same, but we didn't even see her take a chance to learn about what happened with her being on her meds. I think that was the one thing that was missing for me. Let's see her try and solve the problems on her meds, and then maybe she can't get to it and then has to resort to coming off her medication.
Yeah.
When she has a conversation with Jonas at the picnic table or the restaurant, wherever they are, she tells him, she drops it on, like, hey, I've done this already 3 days ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's a shock. That is starting to break the trust in their relationship.
Yeah.
Right. I think.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, I think she knows what she's doing. She's done it in the past.
Okay.
She knows herself very well, and I think she knows what she's doing.
It's interesting you say that.
In a weird way.
It's interesting you say that, because she has a complete breakdown during this episode, and she starts snorting caffeine, doing lines of caffeine, like crushing up the pill right in front of her boyfriend. And by the way, I've got a problem with Jonas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not stepping up and saying, no, don't do this. This is crazy.
Uh-huh. That was the first indication that something was wrong.
And, yeah.
I didn't like that either. I thought that was kind of strange. I didn't expect that of him. I thought he would be the kind of person to immediately interject.
Right.
Yeah. But he chose not to.
He's much an enabler, as they say. You know,
he was at first. Once she, you know, starts drinking vodka straight out of the bottle and polishes off the bottle, he finally steps in. And I like that about him, that he's smart enough to find the right ways to get her to do what he wants her to do.
And I was going to say, I like the fact that he still loves her in regardless of her crazy.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's deep. That's hard to do.
But he does walk out on her.
Yeah.
When they have an argument. And she, in fairness to her, she does warn him, this is going to get scary and I'm going to get incoherent. And so if he's going to agree to go along for the ride, he's got to be prepared for that, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Yes and no. I think his reaction was warranted. I know that I probably would have reacted that way. I if just to kind of re-strategize how I'm going to bring her back to reality, because it's hard to do that when someone is in your face. Yeah. You know, I don't think that was a bad move on his part, or not bad necessarily. I think it's a normal reaction.
I think it's a normal reaction.
To want to take a break.
I agree with you, but this is a person that told you exactly what to expect. And now when it's happening, you have a different reaction and you walk away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was a little bit disappointed in him during that moment. Because Carrie, I mean, she's coming up with childish things. Mm-hmm. You're not a good lay. You know, she's like taunting him and smiling at him after she takes the pill. Like, see, daddy, like, I took it. You know, she's just taunting him that way.
She was acting like a five-year-old.
Yeah, she was acting like a five-year-old, right? Mm-hmm. So when you're an adult in those situations, you don't take it to heart.
Mm-mm. Well, you shouldn't.
Right.
Their relationship is very intimate. And so you can't help but take certain things to heart, even though hindsight is always 20/20. I'm sure 5 minutes from that point, he would have been able to like realize, you know, that was just her being crazy. Mm-hmm. But in the moment, it absolutely is real. And your feelings do get hurt.
Yeah.
Even though you know that it's not their fault.
Yeah, and I think that this is probably his first time dealing with something like this.
Of course.
So his reaction is probably pretty spot on. He's like, okay, I said I would agree to this, but I'm not really sure I do now. Now that I see what it's really about.
Well, and we never saw before in previous episodes Carrie doing lines of caffeine pills. That's a brand new level of low for her. Normally, just being off the meds is enough to send her...
Or drinking. Drinking is not her thing. That's her thing.
Yeah, she got into wine a bunch, you know, last time she went off her meds, and now she's back getting off her meds and going for vodka, going for the hard stuff right away. But she does, like you were saying, Stephanie, she does figure out what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I love how this show interconnects these plots together. So at first, we don't know what Quinn's doing. So when you saw Quinn, you know, stalking this little kid, what did you think was happening?
Oh, I thought, that's just creepy. You know, like, what is he doing? That's like, okay, he's hitting a new low for me.
Yeah.
And I like Quinn. I like the darkness about him. He's now, you know, an assassin. He's Black Ops.
Yeah.
But do we really kidnap kids now? And I thought, it's got to be for a purpose.
Exactly.
And, you know, thank God he didn't hurt him, of course, but just the creepiness of it.
Yeah, and because at the end of the last episode, we saw the name was Matheson. So I'm thinking, why is he going after a little kid?
Right. I was like, whose kid is this?
Yeah.
You know, because we only saw the woman talking to the little kid. We didn't see anybody else. We was like, well, whose kid is this?
Right. And we don't know who Jonas's ex is until he finally gets the call.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Quinn traces it and then gets to Carrie's place. So what do you guys think of when she's out in the forest with the sniper rifle?
Looking like a wild woman.
Yeah, she's just like on fire about that.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was great. I mean, it was very entertaining to watch. You know, my heart sunk a little bit, to be honest, just because we thought the snorting of the caffeine was a new low.
Yeah.
For me, in many ways, that was a much deeper and lower low.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Why do you say that?
Well, first of all, I didn't know she had a sniper.
I didn't even think she could use a rifle.
Yeah. I didn't know she had a sniper rifle, so that was surprising. I'm still getting used to that. Mm-hmm. But just to see her in that sort of hyper-paranoid state was enough to kind of have my heart hurt a little bit for Carrie.
I know. I wanted to go save her, run in and just give her a hug and take her to a hospital somewhere.
After she puts the gun away.
Yeah. That's true, yeah. Put the gun down and we'll go to the hospital.
Well, I agree with you guys. Yeah. We've seen her make progress. She's gotten to the point where she's at a stable place in her life, and I think we as viewers want to keep her there.
Yeah.
But Carrie Matheson
will do what she pleases.
Well, that goes back to the first episode where we saw her sitting in the church and she looks so pristine and pretty and well together. And now we see the wild woman in the woods with the rifle.
That's right.
You know, so it's taking a turn here.
Well, and then also too, and Julian, you were talking about this, her sort of John Nash beautiful mind sort of crazy room with all the pictures on the wall. Mm-hmm. So while we were watching, you had a good comment about that. About how her Jonas didn't notice that there was a
rumor. Yeah, I didn't. How do you not notice that? Okay, so your girlfriend—they're not married, right?
So
your girlfriend is pretty. I would imagine that it would take a long time for you to be able to put all of those pictures up.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So you don't notice that your girlfriend, who you're helping in this pursuit, is stuck in a room all day. Like, how do you not pick up some cues? So there are no red flags.
Right. Yeah.
And so maybe that explains why. Maybe that explains why when he walked in my opinion, his surprise, his shock wasn't as deep as one would expect. Mm-hmm. I thought, you know, he was taken aback, but it gave him pause, but he wasn't like, oh man, like right. This is, she really is crazy.
Right.
Because I guess there may have been some indication of that prior to him entering that room, but I just thought, you really? You had no idea?
I mean, is that carries off limits room that he can't go into?
Yeah, he can't go in there.
don't come in here while I'm working. You know, we didn't see any of that scene. All of a sudden, mm-hmm. there's this room there where she figures everything out. But in fairness to her, she does figure out that someone's coming after her, and the phone call that Jonas made, or that Jonas's ex made to him, mm-hmm. was the vehicle through which Quinn is able to track her down.
Yeah.
Quinn gets shot by Carrie in the back, mm-hmm. goes down, and I really thought he got shot. Like, and then she was going to walk up to him and see him, mm-hmm. and be like, oh my gosh, it's Quinn.
Me too, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
we forget that Quinn is just as smart.
Right.
And plus, they both got 12 episodes, so they're good.
That's true.
We're not going to kill Quinn off.
Quinn just be in a hospital. You know?
Yeah, that's true. Hospital till episode 12.
So then Quinn comes back. I know we're jumping ahead all the way to the end of the episode, but we have a lot of other topics to talk mm-hmm. about. So Quinn puts Carrie in a sleeper hold and gives her a shot. I'd assume that's a sedative to put her out for a while.
Yes, probably.
And then we'll get to predictions and where we think that she's going to go next week. But I want to move on to the next storyline that was prominent in this episode, and that was we have Saul and Allison Carr. Who are battling initially at the top of the episode. We saw last week where Allison tried to convince Dardal to let Saul go and be the sacrificial lamb that the Germans were looking for to be the fall person for the data breach that happened. So Allison's attempt is fails. And then we find out an interesting tidbit about the pair. During the episode, we find out that Saul and Allison are sleeping with each other.
Dun, dun, dun.
No. Which shocked all of us while we were all watching, you know, while that happened, we all were like, are you kidding me?
Really?
We thought, I don't know who said it or if I thought it and said it or what it was. We thought, I think collectively, that must have been a hallucination.
Yes.
A very hallucination.
You said that,
because there was no... Oh, did I say it?
Yeah.
I
you
thought
said it.
Was just, I thought someone else said it. Because with this, you just don't see it coming.
Like, yeah.
That's just such a left thing.
Never saw it coming.
Out of left field.
You actually said something interesting right before we went on the air about why you thought... Like, you could see that
happening. When he confronted her in the office, and she was kind of standing there, like you said, like a little girl, almost a little coquettish, like, okay, I'm sorry, you know, and she was kind of looking down. And I thought, that's interesting, you know?
That's interesting that you picked that up, because that's very subtle.
Yeah.
I did not know
that. I didn't pick that up either. I guess because we're dudes.
Exactly, right? The girls pick up the signals.
And I almost thought, you know, it's probably a lover's quarrel.
Wow.
And then I went, no, never.
Really?
And then the next scene, they were like,
I thought, no way.
Yeah.
I kind of like you guys. I'm waiting for the camera to like go into a big swoosh and it's all in Carrie's head for a second. But it wasn't. So they're sleeping together, which is a shock. I want to know how long that relationship's been going on. I mean, what do you guys think? Is that something that's brand new and it just sort of fired them up to battle each other?
And when he says, I taught you everything you knew,
what
exactly did he teach her?
You know,
are we just talking work-related here now?
Well, you know, I would get in trouble for saying somebody's handsome, but Saul, you know. Somebody else had a problem with I said that Quinn was handsome. So, well, you know, Saul is you know, he's a charmer.
And he's in power, so that's very attractive. And Saul has a way.
And I think they looked actually nice together. They compliment each other.
You know, it's interesting that you bring up the signal that you saw during the scene, because another one is we almost never see Saul lose his cool.
Never.
And scream and yell. And he did it in this scene. He told her, you know, shut the F up, you know, be quiet. And if you come at the king, you best not miss. What was the line? I want to know specifically what it was. I wrote it down. If you aim to kill, don't miss.
Yeah.
Which is great. It's such a great line. But he seemed really ratcheted up emotionally that she had done that to him.
But that was probably an indicator of the relationship.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So maybe that's another off... you know, something that is not in Saul's character normally that came to pass in that scene.
Because if they're in love, you know, he's going to come at her a totally different way.
Yeah.
Here's my sort of naivete, like the way my brain works. I thought they had a mentor-mentee relationship.
I did too, yeah.
Or they probably do, but I thought that was it. That was the basis of his anger towards him, towards her, excuse me. Like, how, I taught you everything you knew, how could you make such a foolish mistake, you know? Mm-hmm. But it wasn't that.
No.
It was something much deeper than that.
And when she's brushing her teeth in her apartment and walking toward the room, you feel there's a reveal coming.
Yes! I can feel it. I was like, okay, who's in there? Somebody said, I think it's Quinn.
I thought it was Quinn, because you see a hairy arm reaching over to her. And such great direction and camera work.
The best.
To just have the hairy arm reaching out onto her back and then a slow pan right on the saw.
Right.
They're
the
so
hair
good.
Just gets gradually more condensed and then saw that it's beard. It's great.
Yeah. We were completely shocked by that. Yeah. So kudos to the Homeland crew for doing an awesome job of production and leading us into that. That was really, really nicely executed.
For sure.
So that was a big, big surprise there. So one of the other big storylines that we have working right now is Laura Sutton and Newman. Mm-hmm. They have a current relationship where Newman is providing her the documents that were uncovered, the CIA documents, and at first she just gets a couple from him. Now he wants to give her the rest of them for free. So they meet up. He gives her a flash drive, and Allison gets back to her office, and there's no files on it.
Ugh.
Well, there's a file.
Well, there's a file, right?
There's something on there.
And it's a big cartoon flipping her off.
Yeah.
Saying, you're not getting this.
Right.
And at first, I thought that was a CIA thing. Like the techies got into her computer or, you know, somehow corrupted that flash drive. And we will find out what happened to the rest of the files. Mm-hmm. We don't know just yet. Mm-hmm. If you watched the preview for next week, you do know what happened, but we're not going to go ahead and do that and spoil it for anybody who hasn't seen those scenes yet.
Right.
So, guys, where do you think this is going with the documents?
Well, like I said before, you know, we started. Laura Sutton, they all have 12 episodes, so it's probably going to go, you know, to the end.
Yeah,
you know, and with the hackers, and I think Laura's probably going to stay alive as long as she stays in touch with the hackers.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. I don't know. That's just my, you know, my take.
I don't really know where to go with that, because what are these documents? What is
nobody
in?
Said.
Yeah, what
we
kind
don't
of
know
information?
Yet.
So
right,
there's so many things you can speculate. It's you did bring up an interesting point of her being in 12 episodes, mm-hmm. and so it'll be revealed soon. I'm not sure where I can predict.
Yeah,
with
that's
this
true.
One.
Yeah, it's kind of tough to say which direction it could go in, because you know if it goes all the way to the end.
Yeah.
It could be a number of things.
Yeah. And one document that came up in another scene with Carrie and Jonas was the drone strike list.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah. So I've got to believe there's something like that within those files that could cause some real damage to the people involved in exposing identities and locations where these people are, maybe undercover assets that could really, really cause problems. So I think, like you said, we have the clue that Allison's going to be, Laura is going to be in throughout the rest of the season. I think things are going to get darker for her as she uncovers more information, finds out details about the CIA's programs, and it's going to get scary for her because she got that temporary arrest last episode. It didn't really go anywhere, and if she releases more, it's going to get even harder for her. So that's where I think this one's going. You guys disagree or have any other?
No, I agree completely. I'm trying to rack my brain. There's so many different places you can go. For sure it will come to a head, and she will have to meet her maker, so to speak.
I was going to say, I like the fact that she has a separate computer.
She has three separate computers in her safe.
In the safe and everything.
Yeah.
And I thought, really smart.
That is smart.
Very smart.
And she works at the Turing Foundation, so she's in a atmosphere that wants to protect her and wants to see these types of programs brought down. Because another scene that I really liked during this episode was the Otto and Saul scene.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the episode, you have two very smart men going at each other, and Saul is being very aggressive towards Otto, and Otto's just calmly flicking away his questions.
Yeah.
What'd you think about the two characters, and we finally get to see the confrontation between them?
Kudos to Otto for right. deflecting in the way that he did.
Yeah.
I don't know that I would have sort of the intestinal fortitude to be able to do that.
And the emotional calm.
Yeah.
Right.
I'd be crapping my pants. Like, you know what I mean? Because Saul is yeah. just so intimidating.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
you know, it's two peas in a pod, so to speak.
Yeah. He kind of just basically just said, I'm not giving you anything.
Yeah.
And that's it. And he didn't like him very much.
I thought it was a great dynamic between the two. A really intense conversation.
Yes.
And I was happy to see those two characters come together in the way that they did, opposing each other, because mm-hmm. like you said, they are two very smart men.
Yeah.
And it's just wonderful to see that go that back and forth between them.
And I was gonna say, Saul was very accusal of Otto. Mm-hmm. You know, he was accusing him, you know where Carrie is, you know what she's doing. And Otto's like, I have no idea. And he really doesn't.
Yeah.
I mean, he's honest. He's like, I don't know what she's doing, I don't know where she's at.
Well, I did notice at the beginning, Saul was very, very aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And as he noticed, as he realized who he was speaking to, mm-hmm. who he was conversing with, and how smart he was,
mm-hmm.
He was a little more circuitous in his line of questioning,
mm-hmm.
which I thought, yes, yeah. there's a
yes.
back and forth.
Like, he probably underestimated him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and later mm-hmm. when Otto is talking to Carrie about that interaction, Otto says, that seems like a man who's too used to getting his way.
Mm-hmm.
So Otto had a very good read on Saul right from the beginning, and it's not typical of Saul to come out that aggressively against someone.
Yeah.
He threw at Otto the accusation that his family were Nazis. Mm-hmm. Otto says that's something that's very well known.
Mm-hmm.
And there was another point that Saul brought up, and During just says that's also something that's very public. So
mm-hmm.
yeah, well, he's saying, in essence, you're not showing me anything new and you're not shaking me. So unless you have something that you really want to agree on between us, then we need to move on with our day. So,
yeah.
Right. So, yes. Have a good day.
It was a great Titanic clash
sure.
between two, you know,
yeah, I thought it was
opposing
a great, strong
sides.
Scene, you know, really good, strong scene.
Well, and yeah, During is against U.S. foreign policy. He said during that scene that he thinks the foreign policy of the U.S. over the past 15 years has been the problem in that part of the world. And
yeah.
that fits with his ideology. He's leftist, so that's, you know, what he believes. As Saul is obviously a government agent and someone who doesn't share that belief.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope they get together again. I hope we get to see more battles between the two.
Yes.
Because those are two really good characters.
Well, Otto's also in for 12 episodes, so he'll be going
to
the
in.
End.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
he's going to the end.
He's
going to
be here the whole way. And yeah. I still don't fully trust Otto Dering. I think there's going to be more to the story.
Oh, yeah.
He's super smart. Mm-hmm. There's not just this, I'm a do-gooder foundation guy. There is uh-huh. something else going on with him.
Yeah, I agree. Or something with his foundation that he is maybe not a part of, that's the people are working for him. I don't know. Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's going to come to a head, though.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
so.
I agree.
Yeah, so I want to move on to news and gossip. Julian was researching during the week and found a really good article, so I'm going to let him intro it. I don't want to steal any of your thunder. Please tell them.
AfterBuzz TV News.
I didn't even
and
realize.
There's a drop.
We have a drop
we
for
have
that.
A drop.
But, hey, we're legit here at AfterBuzz TV. This week, I'm reading from an Entertainment Weekly article. Homeland offered more political commentary than it bargained for, according to this article. The production hired graffiti artists to paint
set decorations.
Yeah, set decorators to decorate graffiti, Arabic graffiti, onto the buildings in last week's episode. And what happened was, I guess, certain viewers who are fluent in Arabic mm-hmm. noticed that those messages were, political. One of the messages was, Homeland is racist, and it was very interesting because there was an immediate statement by Homeland's co-creator, Alex Gonza, which says, we wish we'd caught these images before they made it to the air. However, as Homeland always strives to be submersive in its own right and as a stimulus for conversation, we can't help but admire this act of artistic sabotage. So they're self-aware on that. But
yeah.
that's been a big news story all mm-hmm. week.
Always.
It's
trended on Facebook, actually, and mm-hmm. What do you guys think?
Well, I love the producer's response,
yeah.
the co-creator's response. I thought that was really cool. He's like, yeah, they did it, and mm-hmm. we wish we would have caught it beforehand, but you know what? I kind of got to tip my hat to them. It's subversive art, and if they're going to protest their show, it's kind of a smart way to do it.
Yeah.
They took advantage of the fact that I read more. Julian was kind enough to send that article around to each of us during the week so that we could read. And in reading the article, you find out that the rest of the set decorators just didn't even pay attention to what the graffiti artists were doing, and none of them could read Arabic. Yeah. So
it's a tremendous oversight on the production's part.
Right.
I thought. Again, I do you agree? Do you disagree? Where do you stand? How do you feel?
As far as the message that they were delivering?
As far as the message that these three artists were perpetuating.
The messages that they said is Homeland is racist. Mm-hmm. Homeland is not a show.
Yeah.
Homeland is fiction or something like that. Obviously, I do think that it is fiction, but it blurs the lines so much. And even now, dealing with the Assad story, which I want to get to in a second, but also the refugee crises that are happening in the world, Homeland is purposefully blending the lines between fact and fiction. So, I mean, for me, from my point of view, I love the show, but I don't take it as gospel. Right. I don't take it as the truth. Mm-hmm. But some people, and these artists specifically, take it as more than that. Mm-hmm. They take it as this is what it's part of a brainwashing structure to paint Muslims in a certain light.
Yeah.
I think that ultimately that is up to the individual person. Mm-hmm. Does the person believe that there are groups that don't support, you know, terrorist activity, or are there, you know, there's separate people who believe that all Muslims are the same and think that way? I don't believe that myself. So it's hard for me to see the point of view that the graffiti artists were making. But I think if you're going to protest, I think this is a really smart way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they created conversation off of that. So, and it wasn't something that was destructive. They didn't destroy the show. They did their job.
Yeah.
They just were really smart about the way they did it. It's kind of like a Banksy, you know, sort of statement that they made.
And I was going to say, I'm very surprised the production, nobody caught it.
Yeah.
They're very strict about those sorts of things. And the fact that it so kind of slipped through the cracks.
Yeah, well, like, in reading the article, the decoration was for the General Aladia camp, which had a lot of set decoration to it. So they were worried about the frayed edges of the curtains that were lining the doorways, creating dirt patches, and, you know, painting the buildings the correct way. And then I'm sure with so much going on, it just slipped the mind of the person to say, oh, this graffiti may say something negative about our show.
Right, yeah.
So where, I know the buck stops at the executive producer, but I'm wondering if or when, if ever, the line producer will have anything to say, or what their reaction is to it, because that is essentially their job, is to check everything. Uh-huh. So,
or the network.
Like, no one. There's so many people. There's so many eyeballs that it goes through before we see it.
Right.
It passed through all of those.
Exactly.
Like, there's not one network executive or someone that works in at Showtime that sees the episode before we do that.
Oh yeah.
Knows Arabic.
That's another great point
too. Or that thought, you know, maybe we should double check this.
Yeah, because it's not just the people on the ground on set.
Mm-hmm.
Once it's shot, it's sent to editors.
Yeah.
It's sent to, you know, the director who looks at it, and tons of, you know, network people. So there was probably hundreds of people that saw that scene.
Oh, yeah.
And again, it's not like the camera is on the graffiti forever. I mean, it's a 5 to 10 second shot, but eagle-eyed viewers who were watching the show caught it.
Right, and if they caught it and they're not so intimately involved with the show, why didn't anyone else? Who is?
Yeah.
Mm, yeah, that's what I, that was my take. That's sort of what I was thinking all week. As far as what I believe in terms, as far as agreeing or disagreeing with the message, it's a TV show. It's a scripted TV show. It's not real.
Yeah.
I would be a little more, I think the point would hold a little more weight if we were talking about, if this was a news broadcast, and we depend on this for our information about the Middle East, but this is a television program.
Right.
This is entertainment. It's not, it shouldn't be taken as fact.
I agree with you. Don't put up a text on the screen that says this is based on a true story or this is a true story.
Exactly.
They don't do that. They borrow from the headlines. They borrow from real life events, but they take tremendous creative license from that. And I don't think that the show is doing damage to people by presenting their storyline. So, but I mean, hey, if they've got a point to make, I think this was a really smart way to do it. And and you know, give them credit for doing something that actually the executive, the co-creator of the show actually praised.
And to give them credit, I just want to say the name of the three artists are Heba Amin, I apologize if I'm mispronouncing your names, I sure am, Stone, and Karim Kapp are the three artists that were in charge of this epic
the set decoration. Yeah. I doubt they will be hired again.
Yeah.
But actually,
or maybe they probably will be hired.
It'd be great if they hired them again.
I'm sure they will be.
And go, this time, make sure it says
Entertainment Weekly knows their names. New York Times knows their names. So it's I'm sure they will be fine.
Yeah, they'll be okay.
So.
They'll be working just fine.
Okay, well, thank you for that news and gossip, Julian. And fans out there, you guys are welcome to send in any news stories or relevant articles that you'd like for us to read and to bring up on the show. Again, use that hashtag ABTV Homeland, and you can post that on our YouTube page for this episode or any other episode, as well as tweeting us online. So let's move into our final segment, which is predictions.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
You get a light
show. Lights, no lights today.
No lights.
That's a little take the light drop. Show.
That's okay. So, there we go. Okay, cool.
The mini one.
So, Julian, lead us off with your predictions for next week's episode.
I had a completely different prediction.
Oh, okay.
And then we started watching this episode. And I am going to agree with Fly on the Wall that Quinn and Carrie are going to collaborate on figuring out why someone wants Carrie dead.
Yeah, that's what I said too. That's my prediction.
I thought the opposite.
No, Kit. No, seriously. I thought that
I thought the opposite.
Oh, no. So I thought that from the beginning.
I did not.
Because there's no way that he's going to kill her.
No.
There's just no way. Because he cares for her.
That's the other thing is they've had a relationship in the past. So they're presenting this storyline as if Quinn would kill her, which I find very far-fetched as an idea.
I didn't necessarily think he would kill her, but I definitely thought he would bring her in.
No, I didn't think that.
I thought that. Yeah, I don't know
I disagree.
Why.
I like when you disagree.
We disagree. Yeah. I knew that from the get-go he was going to find out, go to her and say, look, what's going on? What's the deal?
Okay.
Because he cares for her. And then, you know, he can't exactly go back and say, well, I'm not going to kill her.
Yeah.
So he's going to have to suffer the consequences of not doing his job.
Yes.
And that's going to be interesting to watch.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah. I like that prediction a lot. Yeah. I'm looking forward to next week and seeing.
Like they're going to just go, oh, okay, no worries.
Yeah.
No, never mind.
Okay. In fairness, we do have the same prediction now.
Oh, yes.
So I have evolved on this.
You
feel like a politician. I have evolved.
Right.
Yeah. But we do agree now.
Yes.
I think they're definitely going to try to figure this thing out.
Mm-hmm.
How can they not?
Right.
Yeah.
This is such an exciting episode.
Yeah.
And it's an exciting season. We're also in it. I'm sure you guys can tell at home listening to us how excited we are to have Homeland be at the top of its game.
We probably giggle a little too much here, but that's okay. It's okay. It's all good fun. We're all so excited.
And finally, my prediction, I'm going to say that if Jonas sticks around, if he comes back, I think he's going to propose to Carrie.
Oh.
I was thinking that, too. I was thinking even farther than that. I was going to say they were going to keep him around because, you know, he's around for 12 episodes,
right?
Or whatever, to the end.
Right.
And they're probably going to keep him around even till next season because he's going to be Mr. Carrie Madison.
Okay.
That's a big prediction. See, that's just me. I'm hopeful.
I agree. No, we are agreeing now. So you guys are splitting predictions. And we are splitting predictions, but that's perfect because I think that if he's going to see the worst of her and be okay with it and come back and handle it with grace eventually the way that he did, I think there's no other place that they can go that's lower than that. So it'll only be up from there.
Yeah, I agree.
That prediction is very smart.
Well, great episode, guys. We want to thank everybody for listening in. Julian, where can the good people find you on social media?
The good people can find me across the board on all social media at Julian Dujeric.
And Stephanie Garrett.
Stephanie G3360 on Instagram and Twitter, and Stephanie Garrett 3360 on YouTube.
Thank you guys for listening. I am Frank Majorana. You can find me on Twitter at Let's Go Frank M. We appreciate you all for listening each and every week. Please like us on YouTube, on iTunes. Give us a rating, 5 stars if you can. We appreciate you all. Again, use that hashtag ABTVHomeland to get your comments read on the air. We'll see you all next week. Be safe out there.
See ya.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later, y'all. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.